On today's episode, I had the immense pleasure to bring on Sola, who I just happened to connect with at the perfect time in my own journey, and we've luckily been able to capture that magic on this episode. So for a little background, so Sola is the visionary founder of the personal development empire, The Queen Path, and is revered by some of the most influential women and multi-million dollar brands across the realms of fashion, culture, and entrepreneurship. Driven by a prophetic passion to empower women to illuminate their brilliance and thrive from their purpose, she is more than a transformational coach, but an embodiment of wisdom. She's extremely passionate about being in service to others, which has been recognized in outlets like Vogue and Forbes 30 Under 30. And in this conversation, we go through a multitude of things that I know will basically cover all of your burning questions on how to embrace your queenly energy and kind of build that queendom that you're looking for. I hope you guys enjoy the episode as much as I did with Sola actually filming it. So let's get into it. Hey, everyone. Welcome to Corporate Quitter. Today's guest is someone that I actually spoke about a couple episodes ago. So a few solo episodes ago, I talked about the problem with boss babe culture and this kind of rise of princess syndrome and kind of everyone's recognizing, oh, there's princess programming and it's not cute anymore. And we want to be empowered women and things like that. And so I did a deep dive on that, and Sola, who I'm joined with thankfully today, was one of the people who had really inspired me to take a closer look at how I was showing up in the world, both personally and in my business. And so I'm so grateful that she's on today to share everything she knows about what it actually means to be a queen and how to show up in the world as a queen so you can attract abundance in all forms. So Sola, thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited about our chat today. Let's get into it.
It's so cool because Sola and I, we had this like weird universal connection moment where like I saw her online and she's just me online and we were like, yo, we need to get to know each other. And
100%. I love when life just syncs it up for you. It just like kind of gives you the alley-oop and you dunk it. Yeah. Yeah, like literally it was like, I think I posted a video and you know, like on Instagram when like, I think if you have a verified account or whatever, it like shows a person's name. And I remember just seeing your name and I was like, I took a mental note and I was like, I'm going to reach out to this person because she represents the audience that I'm trying to understand a lot more, which is like the corporate queens. But we're going to get into that today. But I'm so excited that the stars aligned for us for sure.
And it's so funny, too, because that one video that you had posted like completely shifted my perspective on queen energy, honestly. So I've had a lot of, I would say, like, not trauma, but I've had a lot of resistance to the phrase queen because to me, I'm like, yes, queen, slay queen. Like, it's very much like that sort of energy or the queenly energy of it being so intense where it's like the boss babes who are like, I don't take any shit. I don't need no man. Like, it's very like, it's not, I don't want to say aggressive, but it's like to the point where it's like, I don't know. It's not approachable. So to me, when I heard queen and you framing it as the way that you do, I was like, that to me sounds attractive. That to me sounds like someone who's in their power, but loves men, right? Loves that person, people of all genders and types. They are completely in flow. They are doing what they love. Like it was less of like a fad and a facade and like I have to kind of white knuckle life and more of a like, hey, let's be open and carefree. So I like love, and that's why I have you on today is to describe and help people. And share like sharing that you can still be a queen and be soft and mushy and loving.
1,000%. I think I felt the same way when I first got led by God to create what it is that I've created. Like the word queen intimidated me because I felt the same way. I was like, does a queen just, does that mean like I'm a boss, babe? Yeah. Like, what does that mean? But I think a lot of women who are deep into their princess programming will definitely feel a resistance towards queen because queen is something that you know you have to step into.
Yeah.
And it is a maturing of the princess living inside of you. And I think a lot of us are resistant to that maturity because we believe that to be queen means that we need to completely let go of our playfulness or completely let go of our feminine flow state. But what it really is like, what does it look like to be in the maturation, the mastery, the realm of devotion of who you were created to be? And that's what queen really is. It's just like the evolved version of your personal like uniqueness.
Yeah. The other thing with queen that kind of scared me a little bit, or not scared me, but like turned me off from it, is that like I'm a very small individual. I'm 4'11". I love falling into the cutesy sort of like I love to be nurtured and coddled by like the boyfriends that I'm with. And like, I don't know, I just fall into the cutesy energy very easily. And like to me, for whatever reason, I translated that as like, oh, that's what a princess is versus a queen. So I could never be a queen. Which is so ridiculous because it doesn't boil down to your physical attributes at all or even that youthful sort of energetic kind of viewpoint on things. It's just more so like
taking responsibility for who you want to be and showing up in the world in that way. Whichever, whether you're sexy, cute, beautiful, strong, like soft, like it literally doesn't matter.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think even when we think about the word like maturity, right?
I get it.
But we've been programmed to feel that way as women because there is a multi-billion-dollar industry centered around beauty that is like the resistance of maturity.
Yeah.
We don't want to mature in our skin. We don't want to mature in getting older. So that word has been hardwired into our brains to be like, ick, you know? But if you're on any kind of path, a path of purpose, a path of service, you maturing doesn't mean like, it doesn't equate to you getting older. You maturing equates to you evolving in something. And I feel like if you're not evolving in something, you're staying stuck and you're not really walking into all of the blessings that are connected to you leveling up and you maturing and you evolving. Does that make sense?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like the future belongs to those who are not afraid to master. And when I think about the queen, I think about it as a woman who is on the path towards mastering what she's been created for. And we all have different purposes, different things that we've been created for, you know?
Yeah. I love that framing of that. And since we're on the topic of creating within our archetypes, can you explain?
Yes.
There's four queen archetypes, right? There's four basically embodiments as a queen.
100%. So my background is like, I'm actually a spoken word poet. And as poets, we like to study the world. We're very, very theatrical, dramatic people. And I went through this season of my life where I just studied like hundreds of women because I've been coaching for about 6 years now. And I'm like, I'm studying all of these women and I just kept noticing these four archetypes. Like it just kept coming up. And I was like, why are these four archetypes? And so do you want me to get into what these queen archetypes are?
Oh my God. Yes. Please get into all of them. You heard, I have the same queen archetype, but we definitely need, especially the core for queens out there. We gotta get into all of them.
Oh yes. I love it. I love it. So I'm a queen of streams, and this is the first archetype that I created. And I kind of created this archetype even to understand myself. But the queen of streams, the synonymous element is water. We are here to be the creative visionaries. We're definitely on a wealth path, whether we realize it or not. We have the ability to create jobs. We have the ability to influence culture. Water is our associated element in the princess state. It can look like a lot of like going with the flow and no sense of direction. But in the queen state, we understand that we're here to, you know, build masculine structures so we can be in our feminine flow. So this is the queen of streams archetype. Definitely a lot of entrepreneurs have this archetype. An example could be, I think one of the best versions of the queen of streams, honestly, is like, I know a lot of people are not a fan of her, but Kim Kardashian.
I was going to say, like, she's 100% a queen of streams. Like, she does it all.
She does it all. And you can tell that she has like a structure that allows her to be in that flow. Mm-hmm. You know, she definitely looks like she's in a flow of something, whether that flow is content creation, but she's definitely in a flow. But her and Paris Hilton, they're great examples of Queen of Streams archetypes. So that's the first OG foundation of the archetype. That's what I am. And that's how I created the Queen Path. The second archetype we have here, this is one of, I think the second most common archetype is the People's Queen. Oh, do I love the People's Queen. The People's Queen, the associated element is air. They're definitely the ones who are here to be representative figures and voices to certain ideas. They have like, I call them like the lighthouses. Think of like Oprah, Amal Clooney, even like someone like Zendaya is like a great example of a People's Queen. And these people are definitely the kind of people who are like representatives. They're like representatives, right? They go out in the world and when people look at them, they represent an idea, a concept, an idea, or they represent something for someone else. Like think of someone like Amal Clooney. She works in the world of like law and justice and all of that. She goes out there and she represents her clients. She goes out there and she represents the voices of the people who are unspoken. So these are definitely people who have like that social justice activism living inside of them. And they probably grew up feeling that from like a young age. And so when they're in their princess state, they can definitely be way too much in the realm of vanity, caring too much about how people are perceiving them, what people think, because everything is really connected to their image. But when they're in their queen state, like these are the women who can be in politics, they can be in government, they can master communication, they can have major, major impact and influence in their desired industries. So that would be the People's Queen. Should we keep flowing?
Oh, for sure. I'm loving this. I'm learning even more. I've dived into all these. Just yeah, like, yeah. Ooh, like where, because I feel like people can flow. I mean, you, well, maybe you tell me. Everyone has their set archetype, but I'm sure there are instances where you can kind of find little light points within the others.
There's definitely going to be, we'll talk about this a little bit. You'll definitely have seasons where you're like, I'm in the Queen of Streams season or I'm in the People's Queen season. But there's definitely one dominant archetype that you have. Our next archetype, which is the third most common archetype, is the Queen of Sanctuaries. Their associated element is Earth. And they are known as the empowered nurturer. Oh, so these are the women who are, I love them. I did like a masterclass with them a month ago. And they're just like the sweetest. Like, I just want to like protect them. These are the women who, they don't necessarily have a lot of career ambitions. They definitely feel a call towards being homemakers, mothers, housewives. They see their career identity comes from what they can discover from their passions at being at home. So there's a lot of influencers. I feel like there's a rise of this kind of influencer that's happening right now. But I think like a public example that we can think of, do you know who Dakota Johnson is?
I thought she's the actress though, right? Isn't she?
Yeah.
The 50 Shades of Grey chick or whatever?
Yes. So she would actually be an example of a queen of sanctuaries because if you study her, I've studied a lot of different women who have this archetype. The Queen of Sanctuaries is here to play the long-term game, meaning like they can master one thing. They're here to really master one thing. Even though they can do a bunch of things like the Queen of Streams, like Dakota Johnson is definitely like acting, right? But at her core element, she's like a homebody, nature, wants to be like cozied up and like with her love. Like she has that kind of personality. A lot of people don't know that about her. But this is like a huge aspect of the Queen of Sanctuaries. So they can have careers. But their career is like about them playing the long-term game. They don't really desire to have like businesses doing a bunch of different things. They'd rather just like find what they're passionate about and like focus on that one thing.
Is like Nara Smith a good example of that then? That TikToker who like does all the home baking? Okay.
100%. She's like the example. She's like the key example of that. But there's definitely women who can have this archetype and have careers for sure. But in their princess state, they're definitely going to... They're going to try to embody water, which is not their called element. They are really here to get grounded and like focus on like that one thing. So they're here to really master intentional focus, right? Which is what makes them such incredible nurturers. In order to be a great nurturer, you have to be able to focus on what's in front of you, focus on your baby, focus on your husband, all the things. And so that's what they're here to master long term. A lot of these women actually like they think they're supposed to be Queen of Streams because they're creative, because this archetype is also very creative. But them having too much go with the flow, too much watery is going to just take them out. It's not going to be sustainable for them. They need like Queen of Streams. We can manage kind of being up in the air and things kind of like going all over the place. We have a little bit more of a capacity to handle things like that. This archetype definitely needs to be grounded. You know, they definitely need to be rooted in order for them to master their queen state.
Yeah. That also apply to like, I would even say like, mental or like even financial stability, like they can't move forward unless they have that sort of security. Whereas Queen of Streams, like obviously when you're in your flow state, you're abundant in all forms. But like I know I can operate under extreme stress within finances, mental health, things like that, though not ideal, but it is possible.
Yeah, 100%. And most Queen of Streams can master that because the Queen of Streams archetype is really birthed out of like the hunger for freedom. You're like, I'm going to get it. Like, so where it's like a by any means necessary kind of energy,
oh,
you know what I mean?
Sure.
Am I speaking to you? So yes. the Queen of Sanctuaries, for their particular archetype, it's really not good for them to be in that state. They don't have like the capacity like we have. You know what I mean? So even like that Instagram, that social, what's her name? The girl
Nara
that you
Smith.
Mentioned. Yeah. Even for her, she had to kind of be in like a more rooted, grounded home life kind of place before her career really blew up. Mm-hmm. Does it make sense?
Totally.
So.
Totally.
The Queen of Streams could be out here in 10 different locations and it's all just like working. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But that archetype in particular, they need to get rooted in, yes, it's mentally rooted. They tend to dissociate a lot. They tend to be in the realm of daydreaming. They're very dreamy archetypes. But I really think if they master intentional focus financially long term, that's what's going to allow them to prosper. Like why I gave the example of Dakota Johnson, she mastered acting. I'm pretty sure she's good at 10,000 different things. But it was like acting in particular. She like gave herself to that and she was able to prosper from that one thing.
Yeah. And then the final archetype, which is probably a lot of the listeners who are on, you know, for corporate quitter, is the corporate, what is it? The corporate queens, that's what they're called?
Yes. Yes. So the corporate queen, oh my gosh, this is the archetype I'm the most excited at this time period to like even study more and examine more. But the corporate queen, their associated element is fire, right? And they are known as the ladies of leadership. I think a lot of people, when they hear corporate queen, they make this assumption that these women have to work in corporate, but that's actually not true. Emma Greed, who's the co-founder of Skims and Good American, she's like the kind of like part of the mastermind behind like the Kim Kardashian empires that are being built. She came from the world of corporate, right? And so these corporate queens, they're the ladies of leadership. They can easily go into entrepreneurship because they are able to take the leadership of their own lives, right? Even though they're programmed to do that for other people, if they were to reconnect that and do it for themselves, they can definitely prosper in the world of entrepreneurship. So they're not limited to be in the corporate space. They have the ability to bring warmth to cold environments. It's a super feminine archetype. I think when we also think corporate, we think masculine, which is
super
so
masculine
much.
And aggressive and assertive and like cold and
it's,
cut off.
I feel like there's so much confusion in the femininity spaces. It's just like
it's
people
very,
make this as
it's bad. It's, we're gonna get into it in a second, but
that's why. Yeah, that's why I kind of got out of it. I mean, we'll talk about that in a second, but yes. Being a corporate queen does not mean you're masculine. Working a job does not make you masculine, right? There's this misconception that we have. If you are in a 9-to-5, then you are automatically like a masculine whatever, right? Mm-hmm. And there's negative associations with that. What I'm here to tell you, to the corporate queens who are listening to this, there is nothing more feminine than being actually decisive.
Yes.
And one thing you know how to do being in the corporate space is that you have to make decisions quickly, right? And even like what we teach on the Queen Path, it's discovery, decision, then it's devotion, right? That's actually like a feminine thing to decide, because being decisive means that you trust yourself, you trust your judgment. You're not afraid to like take action. And I think there's a lot of misprogramming in the femininity space of like, I'm just going to like let him decide and I'm like, hit me up in 25 years and tell me where you're at, right? But the corporate queens have mastered being super decisive because they have to be, because their whole company depends on them being decisive. And so they can easily bring that into entrepreneurship. But when they're in their princess state, when they're not really cultivating their queen state, they don't know how to do that for themselves, right? They are just like yes men. They just follow the agenda. They follow the rule. They can't critically think for themselves. They're very dependent on systems that are no longer serving them. And so when they can cultivate a system in their own life that can serve them, they can move into their queen state. So it requires them to kind of burn down what isn't working, which I think a lot of corporate queens have a fear to do. But if they do that, they're going to easily shift into their queen state. If you don't like what it's looking like, burn it down. Burn it down. You have that power inside of you and igniting a path forward for yourself and for others to follow.
I mean, easier said than done, but yes, it is possible. And
it is possible.
It's so interesting as you're discussing all the archetypes. Like, I could almost see my 3-4 years that I've been out of corporate kind of embodying each of those queen archetypes. Like, I feel like I've literally had every single aspect at some point in my life. And now, because of where I'm at, obviously, Queen of Streams makes sense because I'm building a business that has multiple streams. But like, when I first started all this, I was definitely in my corporate sort of queenie energy where I like couldn't make decisions and like, I don't know, everything was hard and I was still relying on men to an extent. Like, I don't know. It stinks when you're in your princess state, when you're in your princess programming and you feel like you're not in control of your life. It really does.
Yeah, 100%. But I even like in the beginning of this conversation, that resistance to queen, but can you see how healthy it is to be in your queen state in environments like corporate?
Yeah.
To be like decisive and to not feel like you are dependent on a system or even dependent on the men in that system. It's actually like a super feminine and empowering thing. And it even translates like great into relationships. You know, I feel like the programming when it comes to love, you're in a relationship, right?
I am. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I feel like the programming when it comes to love is that in order to get a man to like us, we have to be in our princessy.
Oh my God.
You know,
well, you will get a man in your life, but it might not be the right man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, oh my God. It's funny now. I'm in probably the healthiest relationship I've been in, to the point that
so
I actually
good.
Live with him. We only met 3 months. No, we met in October of last year. So within 3 months of us dating, we moved in together, which is a pretty fast thing. And I'm not resistant, but I'm super independent, much like you probably are too. And so for years, I was just, you know, surrounded by men who either wouldn't, not that they weren't providers, but I was basically, they were also entrapping me and keeping me in the princess state because that's where they wanted me to be, whether they knew it or not. So it's cool to see a flip of like, I had to make the decision of like, no, I don't want to be a princess anymore, but I want to be playful and silly. And then actually find a partner who's willing to support me on my queenly journey. Like, and he even calls, he's like, yes, queen, go. I mean, he does it in that way because he's funny, he's a comedian, but it's so cool once you can switch that kind of.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. And like, the beautiful thing is like, the princess doesn't have to die. Right. I think there's a misconception that it's about killing the princess. It's like, no, the queen is just the evolution of the princess. The queen is the princess still, but she's just evolved. She's just matured. She's just in the realm of devotion. That's the only difference. And so it's not about, you know, assassinating the princess within, but examining all of the toxic patterns that is connected to the princess that are no longer serving you, and understanding that in order for you to get to your next level, you have to sacrifice some of those habits, mindsets, or whatever it may be in order for you to step into your queen state and really like reign over your life and rule over your life. Like, that's what it's really about. You know, it's not about trying to rule over a bunch of people or trying to like command all of this attention. Like, wouldn't you want to rule over your life? Wouldn't you want to rule over money? Wouldn't you want to rule over things that you feel like have dominion over you? And I think that's the power of the queen. She can rule over the things that once enslaved her.
Yeah. I do want to get into the conversation on relationships a little bit, just because it's such a pain point, especially for corporate women specifically, but just women in general, are having a tough time with relationships. And also talking about the difference between like masculine energy, queen energy, like there's a lot of confusion between that. And I think that's also a big part of why it's harming dating and relationships. So can you talk a little bit about the differences between basically masculine and feminine energy, its relation to queen energy, and then maybe dating and how all of that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the queen is the epitome of the feminine, in my personal opinion, because I feel like my original business was actually called the Feminine Frequency. And this was like, I started like maybe like 6 years ago. Like, that was my original kind of vision. So I'm a bit of an OG in this space. It's a very new thing that a lot of people are talking about. And a lot of people don't fully understand it. They're just kind of repeating what everybody else is saying. Mm-hmm. But I like really studied it from not just like an energetic perspective, but like I studied it by studying relationships, all of these different kinds of relationships. And essentially the feminine is, in its essence, is the receiver, mm-hmm. and the masculine is the giver, right?
Yeah.
And when that doesn't mean like the feminine does not give anything, but when she receives, she can give. When she receives, she can give. So she's not giving from a place of emptiness. And I think that's when you know you're in your masculine, is when you are constantly pouring, giving, and you feel like you're giving from a place of emptiness. You know what I mean? Even when we look at man and woman at our original essence, like men carry the seed, like they got the seeds in them. Like, we are the receiver of the seeds. And so that's our natural state of being. If we were to simplify the masculine and feminine, it's like the feminine is in a state of receptivity. And so when you think about like your queen energy, it's like you're in a state of receiving. You're in the state of receiving. And that doesn't mean like you're out here just like waiting for guys to like buy you cards and all of that stuff.
I was going to say, it sounds a little sprinkly to me. There are confusion about that, though. Like, people think like, oh, I'm not going to lift a finger. Like, I am a queen. I love the queen energy in the sense of how you describe it, but I think people confuse it with like not domination, but like almost like women are better and men are here to serve as a slave.
Not at all. Which is not the way it's supposed to be. Because when you think about a king and a queen archetype, they're partners. There's true partnerships. They complement each other, right? Yes, a king could provide, you know, protection, resources, and all of that stuff, but a queen can inspire vision. She can inspire things. She can inspire movement. She can bring forth, you know, perspective, because she's always receiving the world. She's always in the state of observing the world, feeling her environment. She's always receiving, whether she realizes it or not. And that doesn't just go into like material receiving.
Yeah, like dollars and purses. Yeah. And fancy dinners.
If that's your vibe, that's your vibe. There's no, I don't shame anybody's game, no, right?
We love receiving as women.
Yes, we love it. I love it. I love it, right? But it's like, so what does this look like in dating? If you're in the early stages of dating a guy and you want to set the tone of the queen energy, again, this is a feminine thing. You're setting the tone of your boundaries. You're setting the tone of what your standards are. Like, you're respecting yourself. That's the power of being a queen. And we've been deceived by the false powers that be, that respecting your boundaries and your standards is considered masculine. So that's where the confusion is. When you're in your queen energy, it's not about like, oh, I'm not doing anything until he buys me a car or whatever. It's kind of like you're coming from a place of like, I truly have done the work within myself and I know the value and I also know what I'm here to give, right? I know what I'm here to give, but I also care and protect myself enough to just not be like pouring and giving and giving and giving all of these things without testing and seeing if the king that is in front of me is worthy for me to give my attention, my body, my energy, like my time to, you know, like. It's like a queen is in a state of observation. She's secure in herself. Does it make sense? And because she's secure in herself when she goes into the dating world, she's not dating from a place of like, I'm incomplete. I need someone to complete me. She's dating from a place of like, I respect men and I respect partnership and I'm looking for the best partner for me.
Yep.
That's the queen energy. So you're going to be a lot more decisive. You're going to be a lot more clear in your communication and your boundaries, but you're also going to be very clear on who you are and what you want out of life. Because if you're not clear on all of those things, you're probably most likely in your princess state and you're looking for a guy to tell you who you are and what he wants to give you out of life. Does it make sense?
Which is the scariest thing, because then all of a sudden you wind up years later in the passenger seat of a guy's vision and you're just like, I love you, but this isn't. Yeah. And like, I've had that many times where in the beginning of a relationship, it's great because I'm within self-respect of myself. I respect my boundaries, my time. I'm working on myself. I'm going to the gym, doing all these things. And then all of a sudden, years later, here I am, like, not even a fraction of that who that person was. Like, I just, like, he says he wants to do this thing. Like, we just, and, like, none of us do that intentionally, much like in our careers, right, with whichever queen archetype you're in and however you present your life. Like, we don't intend to be, like, get away from our queenly state, but sometimes it happens.
100%. And if it happens, have compassion with yourself. It's part of the programming of women. But I think it's, you know, I personally believe in like submission. I think that could be a triggering word for a lot of people. But I wouldn't submit to someone who didn't have a vision that I felt like I can trust in. You know what I mean? And I think what tends to happen to a lot of women who are dating in their princess state is that they have no vision for their lives. You know, so they're just looking for someone to like, tell me what to do. Tell me who I should become. And that's a very dangerous place to be. So a queen, the difference between, you know, the queen and the princess is a queen really knows who she is. And when you know who you are, you're going to show up authentic. You're not going to show up playing a character. You're not going to be showing up trying to like, okay, I'm not going to do this unless you give me this and this and that. You're going to be in a state of like really knowing yourself. And the more you know yourself, you know that you are love. Mm-hmm. No matter all of the things that you like, if what you know, you've reached the pinnacle of like really knowing yourself when you can discover love within yourself. And when you're showing up on a date and you're embodying that love, you are also embodying boundaries and protection, because love is not, I think there's even a lot of misconceptions about what love is. We think like, oh yes, love just allows all kinds of BS and whatever. It's like, no, love is also connected with honor and respect, you know? And so when you're embodying who you truly are, you know who you truly are, you're definitely going to be dating a lot differently.
Oh,
and you're
going to
be attracting a lot differently as well.
Yeah. I am like getting into my queenly energy. I actually, for a good year when I was in dating, like refused to like do anything physical, like intimately with anyone, unless we were dating for a few months. Like I put that as a firm boundary because I was like, I want to see who actually sticks around. And like, it's funny because things change very quickly when you set certain boundaries
very
like that.
Quickly.
Or like, hey, I need to be in bed by 10 p.m. so I can get to the gym at 6. Like, sorry, I can't go to the bar with you. Like, I mean, I for a whole year was pushing the edges of like what it meant to be in my boundaries and have certain things that I require. And like people share, they show exactly who they are. And like, that's okay. There's nothing wrong with them. But like thank you, move on.
1,000%. And I love that you did that. I think a lot of women are afraid to be very clear on their boundaries or set these standards because they are afraid it's going to make them be seen as masculine.
Well, unlovable that, too. Like that it's unsafe and you're not going to be accepted. Like it.
100%. That as well. And so I think it's really important to, if anyone who's single is who's listening to this, like have a season where you have to take a step back and be like, okay, what are my standards for myself? And I'm just like, oh, I want this and this and out of relationship. But like, am I going to make sure that no matter what, I'm in bed by 10 so I can wake up early in the morning to go to, like, that's you setting standards for yourself. So you are tapping into your queen state then. And then you're going to attract, like you are now, like someone who really can honor and respect you. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because honor and respect comes from being a person of your word. And if you are honoring your own word, then like, you're just naturally going to be more magnetic to people who can do the same as well.
Yeah. And I would think that, I mean, you tell me, but right when you, the more that you trust in yourself and more that you lean into the queen energy, I'm sure you become more magnetic to just like, let's even say for Queen of Streams, right? Opportunities to like build this business or work with this client or like whatever it is. So, I mean, can you talk a little 100%. Bit about more of that? About how like, just like how to evolve into your queenly state and kind of lean into that and knowing that you're still going to be safe. And I'm sure people are curious. How do I do this? What do I do?
So on the queen path, I teach, we all go through these three different phases, right? And the phases is number one is discover. And then it's decision, and then it's devotion. Discover, decision, devotion. And so when you're kind of still in that princess state, I encourage you to be in that state of self-discovery. Who am I? What do I like? What do I like to do? You're discovering things about yourself. You're discovering things about the world. But eventually what's going to take you out of princess to queen is that you have to start making decisions based on what you discovered. If you discovered like, oh my gosh, I'm eating really poorly. Or, oh my gosh, I've been like really toxic in relationship. You've been discovering that for years. You've gone to therapy, did the coaches, you did the whole thing. Eventually, you have to make decisions. And I think what keeps a lot of people stuck in the princess state is that they like to stay stuck in the realm of self-discovery. Mm-hmm. They're addicted to discovery. I want to discover this and discover. Queens are decisive, right? Queens are decisive. So that's the beginning of you starting to get into the queen state. It's understanding that even when you think about in ancient times, like historical queens, they had to make choices and decisions, like off with his head, you know, what are the peasants eating? Like their life every day, like their number one responsibility besides their elaborate beauty treatments, which like love that, was an outside of making appearances, was making decisions. Like that's one of the biggest responsibility for kings and queens, to make choices. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, that's the beginning of you stepping into queen. You have to start being a lot more decisive and honoring. Like when you decide something, then you have to go into the realm of devotion. That's the final stage. That's how you really lock in with the queen state. So you're like, for example, you were like, I'm going to quit my job. I'm going to start this business. Like you discovered some things. You went through the exact phases of what I'm talking about. You were like, I'm assuming this is what you went through. I'm not sure. But you were like, I hate this or I'm done with this. You discover like, this is actually going to destroy me. There were things that you discovered, right? But you would have stayed stuck in your princess state if you never made a decision based on what you discovered.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, the crazy thing is that it's taken this long to get to this place of like true decisiveness. Because I would say 100%. I've flexed my decision muscle quite a bit over the past 3 years. Because you have to as a business owner. You don't have a boss to report to none of that. But now, like, it baffles me that for 3 years of making really, really hard decisions, I finally now can say I feel more like my queenly energy is showing up, which, 100%. Like, it's not a long time, but it feels like the end of the world. It feels like I'm never going to get there.
100%. So that's why it's when you're in that self-discovery state, it's very important that you choose compassion and curiosity over judgment. Right. It's like not looking at that season of your life when you're just like discovering all these things, and you're not taking action. It's like, get curious with yourself. Like, why am I not taking action on this? Why am I prolonging me making a decision, even though I know A, B, and C and D? Because it's usually something stemmed from childhood. So it's very important that you're when you're on the what I call the queen path, you move with curiosity and compassion with yourself. Mm-hmm. But when you enter into the realm of decisions, like it's a scary place to be. It's also a very powerful place to be because you know that your decisions can influence your whole entire world. Like, did you go through that when you were kind of transitioning out of corporate into what you do now in entrepreneurship? Oh, like you for sure. Getting into that realm of decisions.
Oh my God. And the other thing too is like when you're just starting a business or transitioning from corporate to basically being an entrepreneur, I call it that. It basically, there's a phase called the quitter hangover where you need to purge everything from that phase before into the entrepreneurial phase. Like you have to purge everything, everything about yourself, everything about what you've thought before. It's a bit rocky. So in that kind of phase, mm-hmm. you're still like, how do I make decisions? Like, you don't even know how to make decisions because there's no rule book. And 100%. Even so, like, all the decisions you make are could be life or death in the sense of, like, you make one bad financial decision, right? An investment in a coach or a program or something, and it doesn't work out, or even developing a product. And then you're like, well, now I have to go back to the very thing I escaped from. So it's super scary. And then you have all this judgment from people around you. Especially men who are like, women, you can't make decisions and they're the worst at making, like, which is so funny because women are super intuitive and we tend to make really great decisions. But now I'm entrusting in my decisions and I'm seeing the long term, like, basically I'm seeing the long term effects of making decisions based on my own judgment. And even though it might have taken longer to see the kind of silver lining, that's paying off tenfold of what if I had trusted in someone else.
100%. Even that's so true. I even say, like, when I show my artwork on these three different phases on the Queen Path and on the art courses and stuff, I always show that the dragon lives in, if there's like an imaginary dragon that we all have, the imaginary dragon lives in between discovery and decision, right? Because usually a lot of us have trauma or painful memories connected to us making a decision that's brought us harm. Yep. Or connected to us making a decision and it didn't lead us to where we wanted. And we have a lot of shame around it. And because we have a lot of shame around it, we stay stuck in discovery, mm-hmm. right? And so it's very important that you make peace with your past decisions. Even when you're on the path of queen, you will have experiences where you make very poor decisions. And that's okay.
I've made terrible decisions.
And that's, I never said that being a queen is just always making good decisions. It's just being decisive, because when you're decisive, you're allowing yourself to not allow your external world to rule over you. You're taking mm-hmm. back, you know, the throne. You're like, I'm not going to let reality rule over me. I'm not going to let this rule over me. So the practice of being decisive, it is a practice. And in that practice, you will fall on your face sometimes. You will make poor decisions. But what you're doing long term is building a muscle of trusting yourself and being on the queen path. You have to, like, that's what it's all about. You have to build trust in yourself, because the more you trust yourself, the more confident you're going to be, the more magnetic you're going to be, and the more you're going to be able to inspire people around you. And when you're not really trusting of yourself, you're going to even make worse decisions, poor decisions. You're going to influence other people to make poor decisions. So the queen path is really a path of building up, like what I say, like the internal kingdom within. And there's going to be a season where you're like, you know, you feel like the building within, the temple within has fallen. You don't know what to do. You feel like defeated or whatever it may be. But if you have a history of building, of trying, of deciding, of going, you can go back and be like, oh, actually, last year I did this and this and that. And actually, I can do it again. You're building evidence in your subconscious mind that you have the ability to do the things that you decide that you want to do.
Yeah. And one of the things that popped up as you were describing that is, right, well, it's been coming up. It's like the more that you embrace your queen energy and that decisive sort of trusting in yourself energy is the more mm-hmm. that you'll become magnetic, which means like more of like your star power and things like that. And one of the things that you most recently did, and I think you continually do on a quarterly basis, is talking about like the paid public figure, right? How to be a public mm-hmm. figure and embrace your star power, right? Which doesn't necessarily mean that you're an entertainer, but it's like embracing the thing that's naturally sparkly within you, your own version of that. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, of course, definitely. I think so. Out of the two archetypes, definitely the people's queen and the queen of streams have, like, you know, I'm a Christian, so we use words like anointing. These archetypes definitely have an anointing towards fame. And fame is essentially, it doesn't mean that you have to be on the red carpet and have people take your pictures when you go to Target or whatever. But fame is just having the ability to be recognized for doing something that you're good at, right? And some people are good at getting drunk and some people are good at getting doing drugs. And maybe that's what they're famous at, but it's just like you are a recognized figure in something. And so I think the more and more you move, you get clear on like, okay, I've discovered I love this. I love business. I love entrepreneurship. I want to make multiple streams of income. Great. I've discovered that I'm the queen of streams. Now you move into decision realm. Okay, I'm going to launch a business. I'm going to launch this business. Okay, I'm deciding I'm going to launch this business. When you get into the final phase of the queen path, which is the realm of devotion, that's when you're all in.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's what devotion is where the queens are at. Like, yes, you start to become queen in the realm of decisions, but it's not until you're in the final form of like, I'm all in. Mm-hmm. There's no option for me to not, like, I'm all in. And that is the energy that attracts fame. Most people that we meet who are famous, public figures, whatever, they went all in on something. That's the reason why they're there. Think of like any, like who's some of your favorite actors?
Oh God, now you're putting me in the spot. I don't even know. Like, I mean, I just watched the Marvel movie last night. So let's say, what is it? Like the guy who plays Thor. I can't remember his name.
Oh yeah, Chris Hemsworth?
Yeah, sure. The Thor dude. Yeah, right? The guy with the hammer. Yeah, I think that's, or yeah. Like Captain America. I don't know. I'm not really good with these things, but either.
Okay. Chris, I'm pretty sure that's Chris Hemsworth. Yeah. So imagine if Chris Hemsworth only did acting 10% of the time. Do you think he would have been able to get like a role like that? You know what I'm saying? He had to go all in. And so when you're all in, you increase your magnetism because you're devoted. And people who are devoted are just naturally more magnetic. That's why like everyone that we can look back in history, like if you study their lives, they're kind of little psychotic. They're a little you know?
I can attest to that.
It's great. But what made them a little psychotic is that they were so committed to what they were doing. Like, think of like a Picasso. Like, if Picasso wasn't spending hours painting, we wouldn't be talking about Picasso today.
Yeah.
And so that's the beautiful thing about being on the queen path. It is, you do have to go through the phases of discovery, decision, and devotion. And if you need to take some more time to discover like who you are, take that time. You know, discover what you feel like when you're doing that thing. You're like in oneness with it. You feel like you're locked in and it's just like God is like flowing through you. If you can find that in the realm of discovery, make a decision and make a decision fast and get into the realm of devotion. And know that the realm of devotion, it's a scary place to be. Just like, decision is a scary place to be. Devotion's a scarier place to be. But the beautiful thing about being a queen and stepping into the queen path is that guess what, babes? You're not meant to do it alone. Every queen. In history, every queen has counsel. There is not a single queen who does not have her appointed council of people who are around her. And I think that's where we need to be moving as women. We need to stop believing the lie that we're here to do it by ourselves. It's the biggest lie.
I agree. And I'm now realizing that. Like my moments where I had the most success, whether it was like I had my finances in order and my health at the same time and my career was good, or like basically all the ducks were aligned, was when I had like support in my life. And maybe at the time it wasn't paid support in the sense of like a VA or whatever it was, an audio editor for my podcast, but it was like, you know, a really loving and supportive boyfriend or a good group of girlfriends or a really good relationship with my mom or something. Just anything to help kind of make things happen, basically, and support 100%. Me in figuring out who I am and what I'm doing.
100%. So just imagine like this, like queens who are listening to this, or the princesses who are listening to this, no judgment wherever you're at. Just imagine like when you're in discovery, you're going to be around a lot of people because you're going to be influenced by your environment. When you get into the realm of decision, it's going to be you and God. You're going to be by yourself. You know what I mean? And that is a very important time period, which is why a lot of us are afraid of getting into the realm of decision, because we have to depend on us making the decisions. Yep. But then when you move into devotion, you're back again around a lot of people. Like when you're in devotion of something, you're going to attract other devoted people to be on the path with you. And so if you feel like you're in a season where you have to make decisions and it feels scary, you're like, I'm by myself. No one understands. Kind of consider this to be like the required ritual or the required rites of passage in order for you to like claim your throne, get your crown, and like rule over whatever you want to rule over.
Yeah. I can see it broken up by years of each of those stages for me, but it's for sure. Like now I'm wondering, can you regress? Like, can you go back into princess programming and then having to go through the same sort of like rediscovery again? Okay. I just wasn't sure if like, okay, we checked the box. Like we are fully here and embodied. Like, you know,
not at all. Like there's going to be seasons in your life where you have to go back into rediscovery, you know, like it's a path for a reason. Like sometimes you can be on a path of something, you saw some really cool trees and then you have to go back to where you started. You know what I mean?
Even calling out all corporate girlies there.
Yeah. Right. So there's definitely seasons where you're going to have to go back to discovery. There's definitely going to be seasons where you're going to have to go back to, you know, reflecting on past decisions. But that's the lifelong journey. You're going to notice throughout your life, there's going to be a season of discovery, a season of decision, and a season of devotion. Your goal is just not to get stuck in discovery. That's not the place you want to be stuck at. If you want to be stuck somewhere, be stuck in devotion. But you don't want to get like, and discovery is a great place to visit. You know, I call these three pillars like realms, right? Like discovery is a great realm to visit. You're studying yourself, the world, you're inquiring, you're exploring, you're taking quizzes like the Queen Path Quiz at www.thequeenpathquiz.com. You're taking quizzes, you're doing the things, right? But eventually, you know that in order to get the things that are on your Pinterest board, in order to get the things that you're like daydreaming about, of trying to manifest, there's some uncomfortable decisions you have to make.
Oh, yeah, and for sure.
And they're not going to be comfortable, y'all. Like, that's what I want you guys to know. Every woman who you deeply admire online or offline, your favorite celebrity or whatever it may be, they had a season where they had to make super uncomfortable, difficult decisions. Super uncomfortable, difficult decisions.
Yeah. I love that you mentioned the Pinterest board thing because I am a Pinterest board obsessed person. But it is
me
cool.
Me too.
I think a recent podcast episode of yours, you were talking about how, like, at one point you were obsessed with the Pinterest boards and then you like had this like out of body experience of like, oh wait, all the things I was pinning like for the past decade or in my life now, like down to like the pair of shoes. Like I've had that too where I'm like, I didn't even realize I wanted a pair of cheetah like leopard print heels and now I was
100%.
In corporate then I was wearing them and now I'm like death to the heels. Like I wear like jeans and like t-shirts now. I'm so not into stuff like that. Or they have to be like, not stripper heels, but like really aggressive block heels for when I have like events and public appearances. But like, it's so funny how like, not necessarily manifestation, but just visualization period can really change things.
Oh, yeah. That's why the discovery period is important because that's when you're daydreaming and you're making the vision board. You're discovering the dreams and the visions that are living inside of you, which is very important. But yeah, isn't it funny when you wake up and... It's funny. Have you ever had the experience where you kind of woke up in a dream or something that you were visualizing and you're like, oh, this is actually not what I want anymore?
Dude, it's so funny because I was talking to someone recently about that. And like now I'm in a super devoted, decisive state. But for like the past 2 years, year and a half, 2 years, I was in the state where I felt like every other month or even every month. No. I would make a decision to go towards a certain path or make a certain decision about my career or like who I was dating or how I dress. And like, then I change again and I was like, am I stupid? Like, what? I don't understand what's going on. And it was perfectly for my path. I had to discover all these different facets. It just took a really long time and decision making to, you know.
And that's the path of especially the Queen of Streams for sure, for this archetype in particular. Like, even study like Kim Kardashian, again, y'all, like, whatever you feel with Kim K, but she is the Queen of Streams. Paris Hilton is like the OG Queen of Streams, so, but. Setting Kim's career, she started off like, you know, the tape. But even after that, she was like trying all these different brand deals. She was trying this. She was
Joanna like Gaines is a great example of that. She's a bit more, I would say, like 100%. Down to earth, you know, like,
yes,
like she does everything now. I think she has a line at Target. Like she and what did she start like doing home renos with her husband? Like, I don't know.
1,000%. So if you have the Queen of Streams archetype, especially have this archetype, you're definitely going to have phases where you're like, I want to do it all. Right. But the key thing for our archetype in particular is that, yes, you can do a bunch of different things, but there's something that you're here to master. Joanna Gaines mastered aesthetics. Like she mastered aesthetics. Even Athena Calderon, who's another Queen of Streams, another architecture, interior design kind of girly. Like there's something that you're here to master. You know, Kim Kardashian, she mastered content creation. Like she's mastered that, which is what has given her the freedom to flow in all the different directions that she's mastered. She mastered influence. And so if you are in a season in your life where you feel like, oh, I want to decide this and I want to decide that, like figure out what in the realm of devotion that you're here to master. Because from that place, you're going to be able to create the multiple streams of income or, you know, pursue the pursuit of multiple things because there's like a connecting source that connects all of those things together. If you don't have that connected source of what kind of pours into all of these different aspects of yourself, you're just going to be in chaos.
Yeah.
Honestly.
which I was there. I'm like, what are we doing, girl? Like, get it together.
Oh, 100%.
But, I mean, so in your programs, do you get to that essentially? So people are like, hey, I want to figure out what my like running theme is or something. Or like, I know people can find out through the quiz what their archetype is and start working within that constraint. Like,
But
like, is there anything else that people can do to kind of get 100%. To that place?
100%. So everyone who takes the quiz, we've done masterclasses for each archetype. There's also an associated ebook. But in each masterclass, like the Queen of Streams, we haven't done the Corporate Queen yet, People's Queen and the Queen of Sanctuaries, I'm walking you through what discovery, decision, and devotion looks like for your particular archetype. And I also walk through that in the ebook. And so, yeah, definitely for the masterclass, I walk everyone through that. And actually, like what I'm doing now, like even as of this day, I'm going to throw in the Queen Path course into all the different masterclasses. So people can be like, okay, I know the general view of what it means to be like the Queen Path, but I also need to know what specifically works for me. And so, yeah, you're definitely going to have those resources on the Queen Path for sure.
Okay, cool. Just had to ask because also like I had said to you, I'm just now entering into my devotion phase and I feel gut feeling I'm going to be in it for quite a while, which I'm like, thank you.
Yeah.
No chaos for a little bit, please. So, but it's cool because the magnetism is coming back. But of course, I'm like, how do I remain in my power as things shift and change and my world changes? Like the world changes, right? The world is chaotic. So knowing that those are available, is great.
Even for every single queen archetype, because yes, it looks different for all of us. You have to, like what I was saying earlier, you have to remember that every queen needs counsel. No matter what your archetype is, the only place that you might feel a little bit isolated is when you're in the decision realm, right? The discovery realm, you'll definitely be around a lot of people. This decision realm, you're going to be a little isolated. But to stay in the realm of devotion, you do need to be around other people who are going to hold you accountable of being there as well. And so for me, as a queen of streams, I'm also like a super artsy fartsy kind of person. Like I tend to self-isolate and be by myself. Same. It's what I'm drawn to because I like to be in my internal world and create and all of that stuff. And there's a season for that, but it's so important that you have a group of people. This could look like coaches, therapists, 2 to 3 friends who just are in a very similar world and know what it is that you're doing and they understand you and they know your goals, right? You need to surround yourself with people who know your goals. Because if not, like, if only you know your goals and you're not really, you know, there's no accountability. Yeah. There's no accountability. No one's going to, there's not going to be also that support that you need to keep you in the realm of devotion. And so
Which my counsel. To me. When I first started all of this, I blew up in 2021, end of 2021. And I didn't have the support system I needed to keep me there. And I didn't lose it. But like I ended up having to go back to the beginning of discovery and then work through, you know, all those different phases. And then now I'm back in devotion and can do like a second round of like with the right foundation and people in place.
100%. And each time you go through that process, my love, is like, you know, going back to discovery. What's happening is actually like, you know, you're getting wiser, like you're gaining more wisdom. You're actually getting
it's just
richer
for the plot.
Without you.
It's for the future book that I'm writing. Like that.
I found
the fodder. I just feel like, okay.
100%. 100%. Like each time you go through that phase, like you're just getting wealthier. You don't even realize like that's what you're actually doing. If you do feel like you have to go back, because wisdom and experience are some of the most valuable things in our world. So every time you go, you feel like you have to start over, collect the gems. They're all meant to be part of your crown. And, you know, when you're in back in that realm of devotion, you're going to have so many gems in your crown that people are literally like, take my money, take my money. You've learned some things I need to learn, you know?
Yeah. I'm still looking at it as like a Girl Scout sash with all my like, you know, kind of like my little pad put on it.
I love it.
Eventually I'll get to the queen, the crown with the jewels, but.
Oh, yeah. Because even it's metaphorical. It's kind of like gems, you know, like gems in your mind, like gemstones.
Yep, yep.
Like, wow, these are valuable gems. When I talk about the crown, I'm talking about your mind.
Yep.
You know, so
I think you have all those layerings of like God and spirit and like everything within your branding and stuff, which is so beautifully done. Yeah.
Thank you. I feel like God is the one who gave me the vision for the archetypes because I like literally remember I'm in Philly right now, actually, and I came out here to kind of like channel the archetypes because Philly's a very creative city. And I just remember just like going into like the state of consciousness of just kind of being like here, but not here. and just like birthing it out and just like getting like the level of detail. I'm still like trying to figure out how much detail I want to go into about the archetypes and keeping it general for now. But I think my life's work is to understand the archetypes at the deepest level, because there's there's something very spiritual about it.
Yeah. Yeah. And the more that you can help people understand themselves, obviously the easier that they can then move into their power. And when people are empowered, they make better decisions and the world is a better place. So, you know.
1,000%. It's like helping people break free from confusion. Mm-hmm. I just like, you know the feeling of being confused, right?
It's the worst. It's true. It feels like, so terrible, honestly.
It's like one of my least favorite feelings on the planet, confusion, which is why I've always hated math. Like, I feel like math was like a personal attack against me. I was like, don't make me feel like this. But because that feeling was so deep for me, I didn't want other people to feel that. And I was noticing that we lived in a time period where people were just like, I don't know who I am. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what I'm doing. And that's like, that's not a place I would want my fellow sisters, my fellow queens to be in. So that's the reason why I made the queen path.
Yeah. Well, the timing is perfect, because right now we all desperately need a little bit of that power within ourselves. Whether you're embodying a physical, you know, a masculine body or a feminine body, like we all need that.
100%.
Well, this has been phenomenal. Oh my God. I'm so excited to share this with the audience. As we wrap this up, one thing I always do is ask like one final question to tie a bow around it nice and pretty is, if you could give advice to your younger self, whether that was Sola a year ago or young baby Sola, like what would that be?
Well, first and foremost, Gabby, that's such like a phenomenal question. Like, truly, thank you. The advice I would give to my younger self is, your power is in your perspective. And if you really understood that, you have the freedom to perceive how you want to perceive, you're going to feel a lot more free, you know? So change your perspective. Don't try to like change all these 10,000 different things in your life. Change your perspective, because your perspective is going to influence how you think, and that's going to influence how you feel, and then that's going to influence what you do. So let's just focus on perception. That's what I would tell my younger self.
Beautifully put, dude. Like that, you definitely channeled something right there. Because that was so eloquently put.
Yeah. 100%.
That was like 100%. TED Talk done for the day.
Rest of us, we're good.
I think down the line, the next phase of what I'm moving into in my life is definitely books. I'm going to make a book on each archetype. Feels like, I feel like each archetype deserves a whole book, because there's so much.
Yeah.
But there's just so many books inside of me. So the words are already, they're always there.
They're coming. Yeah. It's just a matter of when the, like, you know, the paper will fly.
Decision and devotion. Yeah. I'm in discovery with that. That's where I'm in discovery. And then eventually I have to make a decision.
Yeah. So fun. I'm about 30,000 words into my manuscript, and it's
a labor of love.
Yeah. Yeah. You know.
Let's go, queen. That's amazing.
Yeah. We'll see how, you know, like how the timeline of everything works out. But I have a feeling when the book finishes will be the time when some publisher's like, hey, do you have a book? And I'm like, actually, yes, I do. I'm just waiting for that moment. But
100%. 100%. I pray that it happens for you, my love. And yeah, well, I commend you for that.
They can make a whole TV show or something, or limited series on the different archetypes, honestly.
That's the long-term vision. The Queen Path is definitely like, it's my lifelong there's so many aspects of it, but the goal is like multimedia. So we definitely want to do, I feel like we could even develop the archetypes into like, you know, animated characters and stuff like
that. I was thinking the same. You know, when you said, when you were talking about Queen archetypes, though it's not related at all, I thought of the series, the Avatar series.
That's what it was.
Like, what is it? A Court of Roses, Thorns and Roses, which is a phenomenal series. And like, it has fairies and stuff. It's still within the same realm of like, there's I don't know. We love whimsical stuff. We love fairies and like
I'm
that whole
here
sort of.
For it.
Yeah. So anyway, like, not that you would have that exact sort of thing.
Yeah.
It's, I don't know.
I like, it would probably be a little, it would be a combination of that little Game of Thronesy. But the long-term vision of what we're doing is like, what I'm doing is like, I'm creating a world, a whole world.
That's exactly what I see, dude. That's why I'm like, is this going to be the next version of the, like the, what is it? The Harry Potter series, like something has to come of it. I don't know.
It's all for the plot.
Yeah. All for the plot. We got to do it for that. But Thank you so much for coming on. This was so great, so insightful. I know my audience is going to gain so much from it. For those listening, all of Sola's information will be in the show notes. So again, thank you for your time.
Thank you so much for having me, Gabby.